Some days I look around and I get this strange feeling that someone discreetly swapped out humanity for a slightly off-brand version and hoped that nobody would notice. It's like waking up in your own neighborhood and everything looks pretty much the same, but the air feels wrong. The people somehow feel wrong, and you feel wrong. Not dramatically, just subtly misaligned. Like reality got bumped while nobody was looking, and now everything's hanging slightly crooked on the wall. So I had this moment recently. I was standing in line at a pharmacy. Everybody was staring at their phones with that same dead, slack-jawed expression you'd normally see on people waiting in line to be harvested by the alien mothership. Nobody was talking. No one was making eye contact, of course. And even the pharmacist had the emotional range of a malfunctioning vending machine. And I remember thinking, this wasn't normal 10 years ago, right? I didn't imagine that. People did actually acknowledge and notice each other, right? So the whole scene felt like one of those dreams where everyone is acting very bizarre except you, until you realize you're the weird one for expecting anything different. And that's when it occurred to me that humanity didn't just change. It drifted, and it sort of slouched into a new shape without permission. And we all just adapted or adjusted accordingly, like frogs in a pot, except the water isn't boiling yet. It's lukewarm and smells kind of funny. Now, I'm not talking about the usual technology is bad TED Talk gloom. I'm talking about something deeper here. Something that I can feel in my bones every time I step outside and I try to remember what people used to be like before the world got knocked off its axis. You know, the truth is, I don't think we're the same species we were in 2015. Because whatever's happened since then, it didn't just disrupt society. It effectively rewired the people living in it. So today, I want to talk about that. And not as an expert or someone holding a clipboard or speaking from a podium. Just as a guy who's been observing humanity from the corner of the room and quietly thinking that something broke in us and we haven't fixed it. We just started decorating the cracks. So I guess let's start with the moment the shift became impossible to ignore. This would be the year we all fell into some kind of time warp where logic and whatever passed for our coping skills dissolved. So people look back on 2020 like it was a bizarre and horrific Netflix miniseries where we all binge watched together. But that year didn't just happen. It actually, it reached into our skulls and it twisted the knobs on our personalities, and it quietly rearranged how we think and feel, how we trust, how we relate. It was basically the psychological equivalent of someone sneaking into your house at night and moving all your furniture just a little. Fairly minor, but enough to make you question your sanity. So not only did isolation make us lonely, it made us somehow different. And I don't mean in the poetic, I learned to bake sourdough bread and appreciate sunsets way. I mean, I went months without speaking to another human face that wasn't flattened into a pixelated square on Zoom or whatever. And at some point, I forgot how tall people were in real life, and which I know sounds a little weird. Everyone felt strangely three-dimensional again once we stepped outside. I mean, there was definitely something unsettling about it. Like spotting a news anchor wearing pajamas below the desk. Well, and because we were cut off from each other for so long, our brains went looking for substitutes, mostly cheap and convenient ones, ones that didn't require deodorant. So we turned to our phones, of course, and we turned to them hard. And our phones, being the codependent little gremlins that they are, turned right back. I would say before 2020, people at least pretended to use social media casually. And after 2020, we weren't using it so much as we were marinating in it, steeping in it. We were treating our brains like tea bags soaking in some endless stream of fear, pointless online arguments, hallucinations disguised as opinions, and cooking videos narrated by people who sounded like they'd never felt a single real emotion before. So the algorithms realized we were inside with nothing to do and said, oh good, they can't escape. And because the outside world was shut down for the most part, we started living almost entirely not only inside our homes, but inside our heads. Which, I don't know about you, but there are times in my life when that's not exactly the most welcoming neighborhood. Because during those times, let's just say my mind can be sort of like a graveyard with a comedy club attached to it. So under these circumstances, of course, paranoia skyrocketed and misinformation spread like wildfire. And when you remove that real world grounding, people start grabbing onto whatever digital hallucination feels the most comforting or the most dramatic. And the landscape changed pretty quickly because it seemed that within months, normal conversations were replaced by these bizarre ideological landmines. You couldn't ask someone how their week was without accidentally triggering a monologue about microchips or secret cabals or why their cousin's neighbor's dog thinks the government is hiding something. I mean, you know, we were kind of losing our minds. Does anyone remember when the monolith appeared in the Utah desert? I thought that was kind of fun anyway. People obviously weren't really talking anymore. They were broadcasting. And everyone became just a little bit suspicious of everyone else. Not enough to mention it out loud, though. Just enough to make eye contact feel like a threat. And then when the world finally reopened, we stepped outside expecting everything to just snap back to normal. But that's not how human psychology works. Because if you trap people long enough, they adapt to the trap. And once they adapt, they don't realize the cage door is actually open. They don't run out and sprint towards freedom. They just kind of sit there scrolling or whatever. Now, personally, I experienced very little of this because I'm a bona fide introvert and I actually enjoyed the solitude for the most part. Not to mention the machinery of corporate capitalism slowing down for once. However, I did notice these issues in other people. So during that period of time, for most people, it went something like this. Imagine your comfort zone shrinks until it barely fits around your body. And your brain decides that anything outside of your immediate abode is hostile foreign land full of dangers, such as conversation and sunlight. I mean, even going for a walk sometimes felt like an expedition. Like you should have packed supplies and left a note in case the squirrels revolted or something. And coming back from that was not automatic. It wasn't quick. I don't even think we've really come back from it. So for a lot of people, it never really happened. That's the part that nobody really likes to admit. We didn't return to the world the same way we left it. Because on a certain level, things changed permanently. And a piece of humanity got left behind in that silence. A softness, a willingness to be around each other despite the awkwardness, a trust that people were just, well, the trust that people were just people and not hidden threats or walking ideologies. So something rewired in us, something subtle, but nonetheless permanent. And when you stack that rewiring on top of the next layer, which is the technology that's stepped in to replace what we lost, you start to see why the world feels like a counterfeit version of itself now. Which brings us to this next part. There are days when I walk outside and it feels like I've stepped into a museum exhibit about humans. And it's not a very flattering one. It's more like the sad wing of the museum where everything's dusty and the curators have given up on explaining anything anymore. People move and talk differently now. And they react like they're waiting for a thought to limp its way to the finish line. And no one's immune to this. Nobody gets to sit around pretending that they've transcended the digital rot and the psychological corrosion of our modern life now. I mean, we're all marinating in it to one degree or another. People who used to mock certain behaviors now catch themselves doing them with, I would say, alarming regularity. You know, stuff they would have ruthlessly roasted others for like a decade ago. For example, take the new conversational reflex that's practically universal now. If someone takes more than 2 seconds to answer a question, irritation kicks in. 2 seconds. That's the amount of time it takes to blink dramatically or microwave a single pee. Yet, there they are. Foot tapping internally, acting like a perfectly normal pause is a personal insult. I mean, I get my fair share of comments here from people who say I speak too slowly. And then comes the uncomfortable recognition that technology has rewired everyone. Not completely, or I would say catastrophically, yet. But enough that the software running their thoughts just feels a little, feels unfamiliar. And we didn't even drift in the same direction. We scattered everywhere, like someone dropped a mirror and told everyone to pick up a shard and call it reality. And people blame the pandemic a lot, and sure, that poured gasoline on everything. But, I mean, let's admit it, the cracks were already there. The pandemic just turned up the volume suddenly until the whole building shook. And at that point, staying home just felt justified. Avoiding people felt rational. The world shrank and then shrank again. And at some point, I noticed how small my life had gotten without me really deciding it. And a lot of people felt this. We just don't talk about it because admitting you got comfortable being hidden sounds like a confession at a rehab that nobody wants to pay for. So now, nobody makes eye contact. Nobody picks up calls. Everybody seems to float around like they're on permanent standby mode or something. The idea of talking to someone in person feels like filing taxes. We've become something in between. Not exactly robotic, but not fully human either. Just overstimulated, highly distracted mammals pacing around with Wi-Fi. And right when we were all sliding into this new half-human state, we were manipulated into a hobby even more addictive than doom scrolling. Division. So, somewhere along the way, arguing online became a lifestyle. It's a place where people wear their outrage like custom merch. Everything is a loyalty test now. Even buying a toaster feels political. You tell someone you didn't like a popular movie, and they react like you ran over their dog on purpose. And slowly, we started acting like one wrong opinion would summon a federal agency straight to your home. This current division, it wasn't an accident. It was created and cultivated by the usual perpetrators, the plutocrats and the oligarchs. So these people figured out a long time ago that a fractured public is a lot easier to control and manipulate than a unified one. So naturally, the pandemic was like a gift basket for anyone already invested in social fragmentation. A real crisis, terrifying and disorienting, suddenly hit at full speed in the internet age, where every fear or rumor, every algorithmic nudge and bad faith opinion could multiply instantly. So the ongoing culture escalated and evolved. So now everyone's diagnosing each other with personality disorders that they learned from a three-slide infographic. And yet we pretend that this is all perfectly normal. And of course, well, the algorithms love it because they eat conflict like it's their cheat day, and it pays better than connection. And we all know at this point that outrage keeps you scrolling, and scrolling keeps the machine well fed. So we downloaded the very apps that make us despise each other. And then we walk around shocked, shocked that we're miserable. Humans, you know, I would say humans haven't become more divided because we're different. We become more divided because hating people is easier than understanding them. Division requires nothing but Wi-Fi and a mildly bad mood, right? And then, as if things weren't surreal enough, AI shows up. Not with any real fanfare, just quietly, like the weird kid in school who unexpectedly gets voted class president. And most people now are talking to an unhealthy degree. Most people are talking to AI to an unhealthy degree, I would say at this point. Because frankly, sometimes it feels like AI is the only entity in their lives that listens without planning its rebuttal. It never interrupts. It never judges. It never sighs loudly like it wants you to shut up. It's basically the perfect friend, which is problematic because humans aren't supposed to have so-called perfect friends. Perfection is a myth in any kind of human relationship. We're actually supposed to deal with difficult, unpredictable, occasionally disappointing people. That's what gives us the opportunity to grow. And that's how you, I think, basically stay human. But with AI, we catch ourselves choosing comfort over connection, ease over effort. And little by little, the human parts of us that actually require practice start to atrophy. It isn't replacing us. It's replacing the skills that we're too tired now to use. And all of this tech-influenced isolation and this division, AI feeds into the weirdest shift of them all. Shared reality is collapsing. And it's happening insidiously. It's happening slowly, like wallpaper peeling in a house that everyone forgot to maintain. You know, reading the news these days, half the time I can't tell what's real anymore. Facts and fiction are just becoming a blur. And people are arguing with data like it's optional. I mean, anyone at this point with enough followers can rewrite reality for their audience. So we've gone from trying to understand each other to trying to win pointless arguments that nobody ever actually wins. And of course, the pandemic made everything worse because it turned us into a bunch of spectators. We stopped participating in life and started broadcasting it. We replaced nuance with performance. And slowly, connection became optional. Some days it feels like everyone's living in their own self-curated hallucination, and the old shared version of reality has been quietly discontinued. It's unsettling, and it's lonely. And, you know, I think it's absurd enough that sometimes all you can do is laugh. Because once you've watched 10,000 people online argue about robot birds or flat earth or whatever, you start to understand why comedy writers drink so much. But I think even in the collapse, the absurdity is worth noticing, because it means that the part of us that remembers how reality used to feel isn't gone. It's just buried under updates that we didn't ask for. So what do we do with all this? Well, I think it's doing little things that can eventually lead to big things. I think one obvious thing is we could start putting our phones down more. Get away from screens. I know it sounds stupidly simple, but on the other hand, we're all addicts. We're users. And I think we should just face the dopamine withdrawal and just push through it. Let your brain remember boredom. Boredom. I think boredom is where all the good stuff used to happen anyway. I think we should cut out the digital middleman sometimes anyway and interact with ourselves and each other directly. Try to talk to people in person more. Acknowledge somebody. Yes, sometimes even the awkward and annoying people. I think I see interaction like a muscle. And we've basically let that muscle turn into a wet noodle. Another thing, you know, go outside. Get into nature if you can. Go to the woods, the river, a lake, or some other body of water. Binge watch the clouds for a while. Nature doesn't care about our feeds or opinions. It's the one place where none of this digital nonsense matters. And I think we remember, you know, we need to remember that we are still allowed to unplug, though that's getting more difficult to do all the time, I know. You know, there is a reality that exists that has nothing to do with screens. I think we just need to find a balance. That's all. I'm not saying completely quit technology. It just has its pros and cons, obviously. You know, I think we need to learn to accept discomfort. Humanity it's uncomfortable by design. We're supposed to embarrass ourselves occasionally. We're supposed to say the wrong thing the wrong thing face to face and learn from it. And I think that on some level, we're supposed to talk to strangers sometimes who don't fully understand us. And look, I get it. We're sick of each other. And there's so much trauma out there and unhealed people. And, you know, you don't want those people to bleed all over you. But I, for one, I don't want to live in an estranged world. And I say this as an introvert. I think every small face-to-face effort, it rebuilds and rewires something. And, you know, it pushes the walls of your life back a little. And eventually, you remember what being human feels like. It's imperfectly unfiltered and alive. Now, maybe that's enough for now. Just trying to stay in touch with your humanity on some level. Because, you know, if the last few years taught me anything, it's this. The world is absurdly ridiculous. People are damaged and exhausting, and technology is unfortunately relentless. But I think we still have choices, for now, anyway. And I think rebellion starts by simply acting human on purpose. All right. I think that's it for me today. As always, thanks for listening.